when I started looking at the lectionary, decided to try and draw together these two occasions on a Sunday. So we have the baptism of Christ and Plough Sunday. And I guess in some senses, it draw me to think about whether they are linked. Of course, very much in churches, you would choose one or the other. As ever with the church, when these things pop up, it is significant. It is something that we are meant to think about and consider. And I'd like to suggest that there is some synergy here between these two themes. It's interesting, actually, Plough Sunday in January, it kind of caught me on the hop a little bit. I mean, I think, obviously, you know my background, and you won't be surprised that we may pick up a number of the agricultural themes as we go through the year. I'm just warning you now. But again, I think because they do pick up and highlight some interesting themes just for us generally, not just for my personal indulgence. Plough Sunday in January, certainly this first Sunday, is quite interesting because there's not many people probably anymore really ploughing in January, although it's an interesting concept. But it's certainly that notion of beginnings. Here we are in this new year, a beginning of a season, a starting anew, starting afresh, holding that kind of reflection of what it is to start a new thing. The plough very often is the very first cultivation in the process of planting a new seed. It's the thing that breaks the ground. Mm-hmm. It's where it starts. And this service really has those origins in blessing of a plough or blessing of the seed. And maybe next year we may even find a plough that we can bless. Hopefully it'll be warmer next year. The plough is an interesting piece of equipment because if you look at it, really it's changed very little over the years from probably what Jesus would have recognized as a plough. He would recognize as a plough today. Yes, there's some differences, but fundamentally the way that the plough looks and operates is pretty much the same. It's hardly changed through the generations. And the purpose of the plough is to really, to turn the soil over, to start mixing up. Those of you who have gardens and enjoy will get in that process of single or if you're really ambitious, double digging. And the plough is kind of, is in that process of turning the soil over. But actually slightly more importantly than that, what it does is slightly shave off the top layer, what we call in farming terms is where all the trash is. And it kind of throws the trash into the bottom of the furrow that's being created and then folds some soil over the top. So what you're doing literally is turning over and putting what will become very useful organic matter into the bottom of the soil so that that can start to break down. And you're changing and improving the soil structure and preparing the way for the seed to go in. In many senses, to achieve a good crop, a good yield of wheat, barley, oilseed rape, whatever, grass, whatever, it all comes from the preparation. Good ploughing predicates a good result at the end. And it's that initial starting of a process that helps us get to a useful end. And that was really my starting point when I started to reflect through this week on this Sunday, that actually Plough Sunday, yes, is very much about celebrating where our food comes from and that process of understanding of what goes in to produce what we consume every day. But it's not actually just about food. There's a useful connection and lesson in here for us about reflecting on preparing for growth, about what we need to do as people, as Christians, to prepare ourselves to grow properly and completely. And this is where I feel we can connect with the baptism of Christ, because in a similar sense, baptism is one of those initial engagements, if you like, with faith that kind of does prepare, it starts. And today we reflect not just on Christ's baptism, but we also hold our own baptisms. And maybe we start to reflect on other people's baptisms. Certainly if you've had some new birth within your family or friends, it might be something that you're thinking about, or even those people who are around you who are starting to engage with faith, whatever age they are, whether baptism is an appropriate thing. And baptism is a very interesting concept for the church. It's one of those things that we kind of struggle with, actually. It's probably, historically, it's one of those things that's probably caused more angst within the church communion than almost anything else. It's one of those quiet disagreements that we have. And the church has very many different thoughts or theologies around baptism, and potentially in this church, many of you may come with very different thoughts, feelings, and theologies on baptism. And that's, as ever, is perfectly right and fine. There's not necessarily a right or wrong answer to any of this. We can think of whether we baptize infants or adults. And that whole thinking of those churches that won't baptize infants, they'll only baptize adults because the notion that they want people to understand what's going on. I would kind of argue, does anyone really understand what's going on with any of this? If anyone understands what's going on at the altar with the Eucharist, then please let me know, because I don't. And baptism is the same. So that act of thinking that we can understand something that God is acting within us, I think, is stretching our human abilities greatly. So is it important? Well, of course, it is important. But this morning we look at baptism in the light of Jesus's own. And in a sense, actually, this is where one of the initial problems comes from. The fact that Jesus was baptized. Jesus, who we understand as the Son of God, who is incarnate, who is human and God in one form, he was baptized by John, by a mortal, if you like. And you kind of pick up this sort of slight awkwardness in John. Jesus comes to him, and obviously they kind of have some knowledge of one another. And John's like, well, hang on a minute. You want me to baptize you? I mean, that's completely the wrong way around. I can't do that. Okay, I've been sent here to maybe do this thing, but I can't baptize you. It should be the other way around. And Jesus says, no, this is the way it needs to be. I want you to baptize me. And this was one of the things that caused the early church huge sort of problems. And in a sense, we remember last year when we were reflecting on the Nicene Creed and the First Council of Nicaea, this was one of the things that First and Second Council tried to sort of debate, the identity of who was Jesus. Was he really fully God, or was he just a man who became God, and all those sorts of things. And this was one of those areas that kind of people were like, well, hang on a minute. What's going on here with Jesus? Did Jesus become God when he was baptized, or was he God before? What does this mean? And what does this notion of Jesus saying, well, this is the right thing, to create this righteousness, this needs to happen? And again, we have that notion of, well, what is righteousness? And again, every one of you will have probably a different viewpoint on that. But what is it? I don't know. Does anyone really know what righteousness actually is? What does it mean? okay, we can have different interpretations, a right relationship with God, with one another. Is it the right thing to do? Is it about gaining a ticket and access to heaven, which is what some people think is going on with baptism? Again, I don't know. I mean, my personal theology is that, you know, God accepts anyone, regardless of whether you're baptized or not, or whether you necessarily have a proclaimed faith or not. There is nothing that precludes us to a relationship with God. Nothing we can do affects that relationship with God, because he created us out of pure love. And he continues to create out of pure love. So why would he preclude anyone in joining him in heaven for anything? Because we're all difficult people. We've all got issues. So what is going on here with this baptism? Well, I think it's potentially more about Jesus showing us how we should live as Christians and how we should live as people of faith. So this notion of righteousness, Jesus came very much to show us what we should do, how we should live, how we should interact. And so this notion of baptism is just him highlighting that this is a process that we all need to go through to start engaging properly with faith. It's interesting that the baptism is the first thing that kind of marks the start of his ministry. So it's that first action that happens. And after that, he goes and is tempted, and then his ministry starts. So for Jesus, baptism wasn't a culmination. It wasn't a fulfillment of anything. It was the start of something. It was the preparing of something. It was, if you like, that first striking of the plow into the ground. And very much he was saying this is about building a community, about initiation, about a bringing in of a people of faith. Jesus came to build a community, a people of faith. Again, it's an interesting reflection that nowhere in the Bible does Jesus baptize anyone that we hear of. So we hear of people being baptized. None of the 12 disciples that we hear of are baptized. They baptize, they're called to baptize, but they're not necessarily baptized themselves. So Jesus is saying this is something that needs to happen. There's something more about saying and more about us where we are rather than having a connection with God. And I think it's more around that whole thing of preparing the ground and that symbolism of baptism, where whether you're splashed with some water or it's full immersion, it's on a symbolism that you are covered with the waters, in that similarity to a plow covering over the trash that's on the top. That there is a part of you that is buried. A little bit like we're going into the tomb with Jesus when he was died. And then as we come out, we are raised with him into this new beginning, this new life, this new engagement. And again, that's for me where this connection comes between Plough Sunday and the baptism of Christ, is this notion of starting something new and preparing. It's something when we talk about baptism preparation, it's not something we talk about very often, but there is a feeling that baptism actually is a kind of exorcism. It is a way of kind of banishing the bad elements and bad spirits from someone. It's one of the notions why a lot of people actually were so very keen on infant baptism, because it was that kind of cleansing. It's quite harsh language to say to someone with this lovely new baby, "Oh, we're going to exercise it." Although I know people who do say that. But it's again, it's an interesting thought of that process that we go through of renewal and cleansing. And so as we're in this season of Epiphany, which is just this wonderful season where we are revealed each week a new element of who Jesus is, and in a sense, a new element of who we are. And as we sit in this period of the new year, where again, we are offered that opportunity to kind of open a new us, a new ventures, a new things, even when it's cold and slippery outside. Today we can reflect on baptism, on our baptism, on our faith. And maybe we can think around how that our baptism was the start of our preparation, the start of the process for growth as a people of God. But also acknowledging that it's a start. It's not a finish. The finish will come when we meet him, and acknowledging that we are all a work in progress. Amen.